the excuses, like, I don't have time, I don't have money. Like, how do you try to fit that meditation or the hypnojourneying, like you were saying? How do we force that into our lives?
Oh my gosh. I'll actually, like, okay. So how you force it is we actually need to go back to those excuses you just told me and get to the root cause of those. If we figure out why you're saying you don't have time, we need to dig into that.
Okay, let's just do this. My name is Raylene.
My name is Hallie. We're Wifeology.
Yeah. Now we're good. Okay, Beth. So why don't we start off again by asking, how did you find us?
Random, completely random. I think you just popped up on my Instagram somewhere. You know how I'm addicted to it right now. Like, instead of following the people you actually want to follow, I go to this other area, like search, and it just randomly gives me all these other awesome people. So I wonder if you popped up there.
Like on the page?
I don't know. You're probably better at this than me, but yeah, it popped up somewhere. You should look it up right now. And it was, that must've been where it was. And so that was probably around April. And then I started binging you. I went all the way back to the beginning to learn your whole story. And I think you guys are amazing. I love your laughs. I think that's the best part, listening to you guys giggle.
Thank you.
That's funny.
And then we wanted to know how you started getting into what you're doing now. Because
yeah.
I would say that's not, like, yeah, do you go to school for that?
You know what? I'm a teacher. I teach psychology and sociology. And I've had a past where I've had a bit of anxiety and a little bit of depression. And so I was seeing a psychologist to help with some of that. And I hit a wall. Like, I'm totally for therapy. Therapy is awesome and 100% good. But I hit a wall with them. And the strategy I was given was, you just have to breathe and talk back to your anxiety and it'll go away, like, in that moment. But it kept coming back. And I'm like, there's more to this. Like, and I remember the last time I talked to her, I'm like crying, being like, I have to keep talking back to it. I can't do this. I'm exhausted. And I ended up meeting with this lady who does shamanic work. And she put me into this, like, it's called a journey. And it was like this deep meditation. And it was phenomenal because I was able to get at some of the roots of the fear I had and some other things that were causing the anxiety. And I was like, I need to investigate more. And so I ended up doing some Reiki work. So I'm a Reiki practitioner, so I can work with energy. But what helped me the most was doing my hypnosis training. Like, I'm a hypnotist. I don't do, like, comedy shows, but I use those skills to put women into a deeper state of meditation so that they can, essentially, the way to describe it is, if I were to say to you, how would your life be different if you no longer felt angry, sad, resentment, emotions that were just holding you back or keeping you stuck? Like, what would happen to your life if you could say bye to all that guilt and worry and shame? And women, it transforms their life when they can be free of these emotional burdens and these emotions that have been stuck for so long. They're like marriages, their relationships, like everything just opens up because they're just lighter and they have the space for it. So that's how I got started. It was actually by accident. I just kind of stumbled across it just with my own journey. And I now use that to help others.
That's cool. Awesome. Didn't you do Reiki?
Yeah, I did a Reiki session. I only did one. And it was really cool. Like, it was really cool what happens during, what happens after. And yeah, I've never gone back, but I should. Like, I've wanted to. Like, psychics. Like, I've seen psychics.
She feels different.
Yeah, but it's a really different, like, feeling than Reiki. So it's kind of cool. You should do
it. Yeah.
And I love
therapy. That's
amazing.
Yeah, you love therapy. Therapy's awesome, trust me, and I'm all for it. This is just another, it works really well what I do in conjunction with, like, a licensed psychiatrist, psychologist, or social worker. The two of them go really well together because you can do your talk therapy, and then you can also kind of go into your subconscious mind and release yourself from all those, like, beliefs and emotions and memories that are just stuck in there, and they need to come out. Like, dig them out, get to the root, say goodbye. Yeah.
And that's what I find, like, my therapist always says to do meditation with therapies, but I'm really bad at doing it. Like, I'm bad. I'm always like, I'm going to do it in the morning or I'm going to do it before bed. And I'm just garbage at doing it. But maybe if I had an appointment to, like, meditate, I would end it.
I've tried it a few times.
You know what?
I just fall asleep.
It's so true. Oh my gosh. Of course you fall asleep. So I recommend doing it in two ways because I fall asleep all the time. Like, I did it the other day in a hammock thinking this will be relaxing outside with the birds chirping. Totally fell asleep. So I always say do it in a chair, and with headphones on, or I like doing it walking because then I'm multitasking. I'm getting like some exercise and I'm doing it. It's called a walking meditation. And so as long as you're not doing it maybe on the streets of Toronto or a major city, yeah. but if you're at a park or a hiking trail, it works really well because it's not as dangerous and your eyes are still open and you're just kind of aware of your surroundings, but your mind is still just doing its thing. But it takes work. Like, it's not easy. And I think that's why we avoid it, because your mind, you have to like really settle into it and quiet the mind so it doesn't keep talking to you, thinking about to-do lists and stuff you want to get done.
I find I start to get stressed out because when I'm meditating, they're like, oh, like, let the thoughts go away. And then when they start to come in, I'm like, oh my God, I have thoughts. How do I get rid of these thoughts? And I'm not good at putting them away.
I just don't even know how to turn it off. Like,
no,
I can't
you
even,
don't.
No. I can't even get to the point where it's like, stop for a minute and then the thoughts come back. It's just like they never, ever shut off. So,
Raylene, I was you 100%. My mind would never, ever stop. So, meditation is really a skill. It's like, it sounds cliche to ride a bike, but like when you first start to learn to ride a bike, I'm sure when we were five, we had to really think about the pedals and the balance and the cars that we could possibly hit around us. But with meditations, it's the same. Like, I use the same sort of music in all my tracks that I use with the women. And so they hear the music and it's like, they fall into it. Their brain is now in line with the music that it just signals to them. It's time to relax.
Yeah.
And you almost need to prep yourself too, before you do it. You can't be running around all day and then hop into a meditation because your mind is so busy. So it's often good to have like a bath before, or just do something quiet and light before you hop into a meditation. Yeah. And that'll help with the busy thoughts as well, because they're there and you just have to kind of train yourself to be aware of them, but not follow them and be like, okay, now I'm going to just hop right out of it, or get mad at yourself. Sometimes you're like, oh, I just can't meditate. So many people tell me, I just can't do it. We all have the ability to do it. It just takes some time to.
It's like muscle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. But once you're in it and you can do it, it's phenomenal. But getting there it's painful at times.
My brother-in-law, he like is really big into meditating, and he always says to me, like, girl, you need to like do it. You need to like slow down. He's like, just close your eyes and think about nothing. And I remember being like, okay, I'm closing my eyes and I'm thinking about nothing, but like, how do you think about nothing? Like, cause I'm thinking about how I'm not supposed to think about something and it just doesn't work. And he's like, how does your mind work like that? Like, mine is just like meditation, like off. I'm like, I don't know. Can't do it.
Oh, I know. I wish it was like that. You could just have like one thought at a time and just be like, I'll turn that one thought off.
You know what? Actually, my boss, she's like, when I lay down to go to bed, she's like, at the end of the night, if I have a thought, she's like, I just think like mentally, like put it on the shelf, like take it and like put it on the shelf. And I'm like, so it doesn't work for me, but good analogy. I like it. Yeah. Full. My shelf is max out, max capacity.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's definitely a skill and it's so powerful. Like, our brains, we have two, like the subconscious and the conscious mind, but we really operate only out of our conscious mind, which is 5%. Like, that's the planning, the analyzing, what we're doing right now, the talking. But the other 95% that we don't really tap into is so powerful when you can get in there, because that's where you put all your beliefs, all those values and things we were taught as a kid. Like don't talk when someone else is talking, make sure you're kind to people. You're not supposed to be sad or show your loud emotions. Like, all those beliefs are stuck in there along with our habits, which then drive our actions. So it's where you make the change. Like, when we talk to our conscious mind being like, shut up, mind, stop talking. It doesn't work. You got to get into that subconscious mind. That's where the magic is.
Do you have any tips for how, cause we were saying, we just feel like, and I saw your Instagram reel today, kind of, I think it was it about like the excuses, like, yeah. I don't have time, I don't have money. Like, how do you try to fit that meditation or the hypnojourneying, like you were saying, how do we force that into our lives?
Oh my gosh. So how you force it is, we actually need to go back to those excuses you just told me and get to the root cause of those. If we figure out why you're saying you don't have time, we need to dig into that. So we could do this together if you want right now, but okay. So tell me, why do you not have enough time to do meditation?
Hallie, you have less time than I do. Okay. I'm off work right now.
My number one reason is because I've tried to balance three jobs.
Okay. So time. So we could go a lot of ways with this. So you don't have time. So you don't have time because you're working three jobs. Why are you working three jobs?
Because I can't shut my mind off. And I constantly am like, what task can I do next? What project can I take on next? What what can I do? What can I do?
And then I'll ask you, why do you want to be so busy?
I don't know, actually.
There's a reason in there. Why do you want to be so busy?
I would say part of it is that I grew up and I was taught that if you're not busy, you're not productive. If you're not a productive person, you're not a productive member of society. If you're not a productive, like I guess relates a lot back to laziness. Success. Yeah. And like, you're not successful if you're not constantly hustling, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's so common. So let me keep asking you why. So if you are not hustling, I'm going to keep asking you why till we figure out why you're not meditating. So if you're not hustling and you're not busy and you're not a productive member of society, why do you need to be all those? And what would happen if you weren't?
I don't know why I need to be those.
And I always say that to you. I'm like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
If you don't take a break today, what's the worst that's going to happen?
I think maybe I have a small bit of catastrophic thinking. And, you know, I think like...
A small bit.
And I think I feel like if I am not the one who's bringing in money, or if I'm not working so hard, and then we don't have money, and then we can't pay our bills, or we don't have savings, and we need something, then I am the one who's not contributing to that. I think that's my problem. And okay. I think I'm so damn controlling that I'm like, if I don't do this, who's going to do it?
This is awesome. So I love what you're telling me. I'm hearing I don't have time, there's not enough money, and I need to be in control. So then what we do is we then dig into the emotions around those. And this is all the stuff we take through the hypno journey, because you may want to release some of that stuff because it's possibly holding you back in your life from doing the things you maybe want to do, because you feel like you don't have time for certain things because of that possibly scarcity mindset. There's some nervousness there around money, needing to control your environment. So there could be some perfectionist tendencies there. And when we have that perfectionist mindset, we often need to be in control. Perfectionism isn't a good thing. It's actually trying to control your environment to a point where it's unhealthy.
Yep.
So we need to dig into those. So let's talk about
some of the emotions. I would say I've reached unhealthy. I think I've reached peak unhealthy.
Yeah, I'm treating you like one of my clients right now.
Yeah.
Now what? Let's talk about some of the emotions. If you wanted, we could. We would then dig into the emotions around how does it feel when you think about not having enough money. We then talk about how does it feel when you're out of control. And we take those emotions, maybe some of the fear, the maybe some guilt around the money piece. We take those and we put them through the hypno journey into these deep meditations, and we release those. We finally, like, you get to see yourself wherever those emotions came up from childhood. And then you can release those and give yourself permission to relax and not have to be in control.
Yeah, I don't know what that feels like. I really don't. Like, even this morning, I was like, my husband went with his grandparents. He went to go watch the soccer game. And I was like, I have some time for like me, and like, I should just sit down and relax. And I was like, but instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to clean the entire apartment because Hallie's coming over and I couldn't possibly have one thing out of place. And my husband said, you know, like, people don't think that we live in this like perfectly clean house all the time. And I'm like, well, yeah, they need to think we do. Like, they need to think that it's this in order all the time. And he's like, just relax, like, just sit down. And then I sat down and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna look in how to do a Zoom podcast because I have time.
We are yin and yang.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm okay, like, I have my own issues, like, I could do some hypno journey, but I am way more lax than you are.
And I do feel that way. Like, I do genuinely feel like it's almost getting to a point where it is unhealthy, where it's like, I don't sleep well. I don't eat well. Yeah, it's a little bit debilitating. And I don't mean for it to be like, I don't mean to be like, today I'm going to strive to be like the most anal perfectionist you'll ever meet. But I am, like, you know.
Yeah, you're not doing it on purpose. This is just your mode of operation and the way you've been working for so many years. Like, a lot of times these beliefs we have about ourselves are formed before age 7, just from looking around in your environment and being around your parents and adults in your life, like teachers and stuff. They help form all these beliefs before age 7. So it's not like you on purpose decided to be a perfectionist and in control and concerned about money. This just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And so now it's time to release those from you, because operating in this mode, eventually you're going to hit a wall, and hitting that wall, it's going to be not a good, comfortable feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
exhaustion, burnout, overwhelm. That's what happens. So it's the step one is being aware of it. Like, at least you can own it and be like, you're right. Maybe not the best trait for myself. I don't know how to get out of this operating mode yet, but I know it's not the best for me.
100%. Mm-hmm. And then I think Hallie's a good balance for that too. Like, truly. Like, I'm like, okay, it's 11 o'clock. And if we just work on this for another hour and a half, and she's like, put it down. Like, it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, okay, in 30 more minutes.
I'm good at being like, I was not always good, yeah. But I'm getting better at prioritizing. So like, I'll say, I'm going to work out. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to work out because I need to put the hour of my time to work out. And then I'll respond to your messages after that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to have a friend, right? That can balance you out that way. If you're both, like, lack of a better word, high strung, can you imagine? You guys would be like, this podcast would be on steroids. It would be.
Truly. Yeah. It truly would be.
I was seeing on your Instagram also kind of what we wanted to relate it to was relationships. Mm-hmm. And you talked about how this kind of stuff saved your marriage. Maybe it could have saved mine. Or started it. But what ways can you relate this into relationships?
Oh my gosh, it's profound. Like, I do say, like, I have a course that I offer at Soulify Wellness, and the course is, it helps women save their relationships or work on their relationships, even if their partner's not invested. Think of it this way, like, in a partnership, there's two people. So we as women are 50% of that. And if we can show up differently within that marriage, a lot of times it shifts dramatically, and we can move that marriage into a complete happy zone. And we do that through, I have three major secrets, and the first one's triggers. So when you can identify the triggers that are showing up within your relationships, like when you feel angry, resentful, unappreciated, when you can identify those and to change the mindset and be like, yes, I was triggered, because those are hints at what work needs to be done within that relationship and within yourself so that you no longer feel that way. And eventually you won't be triggered by your husband being late or your partner maybe talking in a louder tone. Like my husband, for instance, I was attracted to him because he was so confident. He was opinionated. He could speak well in a group. I was shy and sensitive. But as I grew more into myself, it drove me crazy. And I started taking it so personal. And that was a trigger for me.
Uh-huh. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. At first you always think like, oh, like, that's so nice. Mm-hmm. And then they start talking too much. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you can notice those triggers and flip them, being like, you are not making me mad. I feel mad because of something else within me. Then you can release that from, like, whatever the reason is. Like, for instance, like if you went grocery shopping, you went to Costco, it's so hard not to spend like a gazillion dollars at Costco. And your husband's upset maybe because you have like an allotted budget for the week and he's upset. Instead of being like, you're right, I probably shouldn't have spent an extra $100. Or you get really defensive being like, well, we needed this and that. Why are you so upset about the money? We'll be fine. Depending on how you respond, if it's like very cool and calm, that's good. But if you have that kind of back up saying should, would, could, but, it means that you're triggered and that there's work to be done, whether you're feeling controlled by someone or whether you're feeling like angry, sad, mad, resentful at being treated maybe like a child. So there's always ways through these hypno journeys we can dig into those emotions you feel when triggered in your relationship and release those so you can calmly have a discussion about the grocery bill. Like, it's never about the groceries. It's never about the silly things. It's always deeper.
That's true. My kind of unrelated. We went to my husband's like grandparents yesterday, and he bought this new Italy jersey. He was like pumped. He's ready for soccer. And his dad showed up in this. He told his dad he got that jersey, and his dad went out and bought the same jersey, and he just like flipped his lid, and he was like so upset that his dad got this jersey. And his family's like, oh, like, it's not a big deal. And I said, like, I think you guys are forgetting that it's not the jersey. He's upset because there's a trend of everything he has, his dad has. And to him, he's like, why can I not just have something for me? So I'm like, he could care less about the jersey. It's mm-hmm. not about this top part. Like, this was just the last straw for him, and that's the event that made him so upset. It could have been, I don't know, like, he could have showed up with the same car, it's probably still would have been the same reaction, right? So it's usually like the tipping point. I guess it's the same when you're triggered. You're not really like, it's not about if I bought lemonade or not, you know?
Yeah, it's totally about something else. And what it is others in our lives, particularly triggers show up the most, not at work. Because at work, we're like, keep it cool, right? Because it's not appropriate to get mad and upset like that. So usually it's our relationships, that the intimate romantic relationships, that these triggers come up the most, because that's when our true selves come out, because we feel the most comfortable. So when these triggers come up, they're mirroring to us what work we actually need to do on ourselves. So when you can shift yourself out of the, like, it's your fault, and if you were to change, our relationship will be better. When you can shift out of that mindset and embrace when you're triggered and flip it to be like, okay, that's work I need to be done. I'll own that. Things just, it transforms. It's profound what happens within your relationships.
That's good advice. I think mindset is everything. I think if you're able to really change your mindset, because it's so true. Like if you go into every day thinking negative thoughts, you're going to have a negative life. And it's been for me over the last, how long have I been off? 4 months has been every day trying to pick positivity every morning. It's not every day. I can't do it every day.
It's hard, yeah.
But it is such a, it is a huge change in mindset. And I noticed even with my ex-fiance, on the days that we have communicated, I noticed a lot more that he does live in a negative mindset. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to see things glass half full, and he often sees things glass half empty. Yeah. And that's, it was so hard. Schlauer,
yeah,
probably not together, but I had to completely change my mindset, because it wasn't always that way. It was after I left, I really needed to do the work on myself. Yeah. To say, no, I'm going to wake up today and choose,
yeah,
happiness instead of being so negative.
It works great, but sometimes you can't choose happiness because it's not your mode of operation. Sometimes you've been operating so long from a different mode that it doesn't come natural. Like an example of this would be like my husband and I, we did do some couples therapy when my first son was born, because I was exhausted. Tired, and relationship problems just get magnified when you bring a child into it. And so we go to the therapist. He's an awesome talker. So they loved us. We would talk the talk, and we would implement the strategies when we got home, but we still had this like backstory, these inner child, these other things within us. So we would settle back into our old ways. So talking to yourself, telling yourself, okay, I should be happy, it works. But sometimes if it doesn't stick, there's something else there that we need to dig out to figure out, why can't I make this a my normal, like my pattern always.
I think it's also building those habits. Like I've been doing that, yeah, 5-minute journal every day. So I make a point to be grateful. And we've been talking a lot about manifesting lately, where we're like, we need, yeah, to manifest. We need to, like, you have to say it like it's yours.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing a lot of research on that, but I'm not good at it yet.
I'm manifesting.
Yeah. Like I have a whole journal dedicated to that. And I don't think I've said anything since May 29th.
Yeah, manifestation is powerful. It's for real. And that's kind of the root of my work, is I don't call it manifestation, but it really is. Like manifestation is rooted deeply in psychology and neuroscience. So it's all about breaking like certain habits that you have. Like just say you were to tell, like in a relationship, every time your partner comes home and says, what did you do all day? It could have been really kind what they said to you, but you take it as, I should have been, if I'm like you, Raylene, I'd be like, well, I should have been productive. I should have done this. And I see them as like getting mad at me for not getting enough done, but really it was simply, what did you do today?
Yeah.
And so when I can release that belief within myself, all of a sudden things shift. So with manifestation, the neuroscience piece of it is getting rid of like snipping that part of my neurons within my brain that are telling me I need to be productive, and then strengthening a new one, like creating a new neural pathway that says it's okay just to relax. You can just enjoy life. You don't have to pack every minute. Like my parents used to say, I do more in a day than most people do in their life. It was just like a joke that they had, but I was so go, go, go. And I think I just couldn't sit still. So when you can shift those mindsets, it actually physically changes your brain structure. So yeah, it's powerful. Like manifestation does work on a science level.
That's cool. So is there like, if you were in a relationship or single or whatever, as an individual, when you're saying, okay, these are the things that I do. So let's say I'm an anal control freak, what or how long does it take, or what does it take to say, okay, I need to work on this to basically rewire my brain to not be a control freak? Like what goes into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So step one, you identify it. So you recognize when you're triggered in those situations, and you can figure out the emotion that's associated with it. So when you're feeling like you're a control freak and you're in control, you feel good. But when you're not in control, what would you feel? I feel like my life is disorganized. It makes me feel like panicky. I feel upset. So what we do is we investigate that emotion of not being in control. And what I do is I take you through this hypno journey where you get into a deep, relaxed state and we turn off your conscious brain. So I put you into what's called like a theta brain state. And the theta brain state is just before falling asleep, just when you're waking up, which is very much that like kind of dreamlike state, but you know you're supposed to wake up. And I get you in that state. So we shut off the conscious mind with all those thoughts. We get into the subconscious and it kind of brings forth what you need to work on. It's absolutely amazing. It just kind of happens how it happens. Like your brain just tells you what you need to work on. I can't even really describe it. It sounds so like magical, but it isn't. It just happens. It takes some practice, but sometimes it's just like an image will come up or a thought will come up. You're like, that's it. And you feel it. You're like, that's it. And you almost reprogram it. You go through and you kind of rewrite the story of when you felt that before, being like, this is what I needed. Because a lot of times triggers come up when you feel like your needs aren't being met. You're not being heard. You're not being seen. And you need something else. Like you're feeling out of control or within a situation. So you can go back and give yourself that. And sometimes it comes up from childhood and you can be like an older parent of yourself and you go in. It sounds really like, I don't know how to describe it, but it really works. It sounds a little out there. But when you're in that state, you give yourself what you need and it kind of rewires it. And then the trick is, sure, you do the work inside, but then you have to reinforce it. So every time you feel like you're trying to control a situation, you'd be like, okay, I'm doing it again. So what I need to do in this situation, that I need to just sit down, relax, make a list, and I will get to this another time. And you reinforce it externally and you work on it internally and eventually it sticks. So it depends on the person. Sometimes it happens like pretty quick, like within the first week or so, depending how deeply rooted, how many like layers of the onion need to be peeled back to truly like heal that part of you. It can take a couple months to really see some change, but yeah, you'll see it pretty quick. Like you'll see the first effects and then it takes a little bit longer sometimes to really reinforce it and make it a like the new habit, your new mode of operation.
Probably that, like, that deep-rooted childhood shit probably takes a lot longer.
We have it. We all have it. It's in there. It's just part of being human. We all have an inner child.
I think it's crazy how much our childhood really can mess you up in your adulthood.
Oh, absolutely. It all kind of comes back. Like, you know what happens is, like some of the tough decisions we make, like to say leaving high school, you may not know what you want to do, but you just feel like society says I have to go to like a post-secondary or I need to do something. We're just told what to do. And the easy route is just to do what you're told, but then it catches up to you because you're not operating from your authentic self anymore. You're just like living the life that society tells you or your parents tell you to live. And then the weight of that on your body, your soul, your essence, whatever you want to call it, is debilitating because all of a sudden you're like, who am I? This isn't what I want to do. I'm exhausted because this is not who I want to be. And then, so it really catches up in adulthood, all these kind of beliefs that you've been operating from just because they're right.
Yeah. I can relate to that heavily. I just feel like you said, like going to post-secondary, I did school twice. I went to University of Waterloo, graduated from there, and then went to Conestoga College for two completely separate things. Like I went for geography and then human resources. And I didn't love either. I was just told that I need to go to school. I need to get a good job by my parents and mostly society as well. But they said, like, you just need to go and you need to get a good job. And now I've been in this job and I hate it. And now we found this and I found other business ventures that I want to do on my own. That's more authentic me. But I'm such a friggin' people pleaser that my whole life I've just done what my parents thought I should do. I need to go have a corporate job so I can have a good pension and blah, 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 blah. It's debilitating. You're right. Cause you're not living your life. Suddenly I'm living the life that they pictured for me.
Yeah.
Which is like my second tip when it comes to really working on your relationship is when you can unleash that authentic self. Like life, just think back to a time, like both of you, when was a time where you like, you felt like you're completely in flow. You're just, everything was easy. It could be even a moment. It could have been like a sporting event or on stage singing, maybe doing the podcast where you're like, this is just easy. I feel like 100% myself. It's like, I'm lit up, weightless. Like when you can harness that energy, that vibe more often, eventually it can become like who you are. But if you can tap into that, that's who you're meant to be. Can you guys think of a time when you felt that true authenticity? And if you can't, think back to a time where you may have where it could have been possible.
I think for me, it's most recently.
Yeah.
Not just because I'm single now, but I think it's because I'm really focusing on my needs, my wants. I've stopped the people pleasing. So I think I've really got that moment now.
Yeah.
More than ever.
I think I go in roller coasters. I think it's like, I feel it. I've lost it. I feel it. I've lost it. Yeah.
I feel like you might feel like when you do photography or even sometimes this.
Yeah. Like I do. Yeah. I do love both of them. And I do like, I think because I hit burnout so often that I'm like, I'm really here and I really love this and it makes me feel good and I'm working on it. And then I'll go on the roller coaster and I'll hit the bottom and I'll be like, I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm defeated. Like, why do I even do this? This is stupid.
I think it's because you do too much.
That's what I mean. Like, I think for me, it's a roller coaster, but I know for sure, like, I definitely hit those, you know,
you get really authentic and you get so excited and then you do too much.
And then I get do too much. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. But I would say you're right.
Yes, you need to find a balance.
Yeah.
And then, in a relationship, when you have that vibe going on, it's contagious. They always say like smiles are contagious, but we can walk into a room. Do you ever feel this? You walk into a room, you get to sense the vibe of the room. Like if it's exciting, if it's like kind of down and depressed, what happened here? When you can sense that vibe, people pick up on that, and you do with your partner as well. So when you operate from that authentic self, that high vibes you, your partner will pick up on it too. And they just, they won't bring you down because you're so grounded. You're like, I'm just loving life. And if they're not going to love life with you, they're not going to be hanging out with you, but they can bring them up too. So that's a huge marriage and relationship shifter.
And you know what? My husband says that often, like if he's having a rough day, which like he does, and we went through a season of that, like all the time. He would say like, you know, even when you come home from work, like you haven't done anything, but like, I already feel better. Like, I just feel better that you're here. And like, so I think that's true for him. Like we try and balance, like if I'm not having a good day, he tries to pick up so that we can feed off of that energy of like, we're both not like, well, fuck the world. Let's just live in it, you know? So yeah, I agree. You can definitely pick up on like energies, people's energies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We get so busy. We forget to do what's really important, which is us. Like when you're in a good place, everything else falls in place. When you're following, like, it's cheesy, but when you're following your heart's desires and you're living for yourself and not what other people tell you to do, or you're not doing things based on scarcity about money or your scarcity of certain things happening of fear, right? Then we cannot operate from that anymore. It's a beautiful thing. You create space is what you do. And like Hallie, you're probably in this space right now. You have the time to really work on yourself and you're releasing things that have been holding you back. And it's creating space for these wonderful opportunities to come in and you for giving you an opportunity to kind of play around with things that are more authentically you, which is making you healthy and you in a good place, which will then transform into this amazing relationship that I know will just come in soon because you've done the work, right? You'll just attract it. Like law of attraction, it'll hit you.
Yeah, hopefully. That, but it's true. That's what they say. Like when you're at, like, again, it's so cliche, but they really say like when you're not prepared, that's when it happens. And I 1,022% believe in that because that's how I was. Like I had manifested certain things and I was like, oh yeah, I'm like killing it on my own. I don't need anybody. I'm an independent woman. And then I met my husband and it was just like so authentic, like organic, right? So
absolutely. Like what they say is when you're operating from a desperation mode, when you're trying to manifest from desperation because you're like grasping at straws, nothing's going to come in. You're sending the wrong, like, we're getting really like deep here, but you're sending the wrong like message out to the universe. Like you're not worthy of it when you're like, I need it now. It's not going to happen. But when you're just cool with what's happening, here you go on the platter. It's yours to have. So yeah, it's a total mindset shift and a releasing of things that have been keeping you in that desperate mode.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been so uninterested.
What'd you say the other day? Negative 45.
Yeah, I'm like not, I've never been so uninterested in the idea of dating or marriage. I've never really been single since I was like 14 years old. Like I never took the time for me and I always transformed me into being whoever the person needed.
Yeah.
And I've never not wanted someone as bad as I don't want someone right now. Like I want me so bad.
Yeah. We turn into chameleons within relationships sometimes, especially if you're a people pleaser. You just adapt to your surroundings and that can lead to a lot of draining you, because like energy wise, you're trying to be something you're not. You're trying to keep up and please, and almost like walking on eggshells at times too, because you're like, what am I supposed to do? Because you're second guessing yourself.
Yeah, that was a lot of things happened in the last relationship, but that was very much it. I was not my authentic self at all.
Mm-hmm. And then you pile on your inner child. So that was like my third secret. When you can dig into that inner child, you will release like all these crazy things that have been happening within your relationship. So by understanding your inner child, it'll give you these massive clues into the issues within your relationship. Like, so inner child, we all have one. Do you know what an inner child is? It's a weird term, but it really just means the playfulness that you have in you from your childhood, but it can also be some of the darker stuff, some of the like the traumas, the emotions, things that happened to you that you maybe didn't have the skills to process or weren't talked to you about as a child. It could be something as simple as like being scolded and told like, don't touch the food on the table one day. And it just sticks with you. Like, oh, I remember getting my hand slapped for not touching something. Or it could be bullying. So anytime that you've kind of endured any loss, grief, any challenges within your childhood, and you didn't process those, then that sticks in your inner child, almost as like baggage, almost as a shadow behind you that we don't even know is there, but resurfaces in our adulthood in these lovely relationships we have.
So how would you say you work more on your inner child, or how do you discover like what those, I don't know, like the issues are?
Yeah, issues is a perfect word. Yeah, absolutely. It's triggers. The foundation is triggers. You figure out the trigger. So why are you being triggered? Then you get curious and be like, okay, this is work I need to do. I was triggered. Woohoo. And then from there, what you do is, there's my son. And so from there, you can dig into those triggers. You know that there's something there. And that's when you can, a lot of times it'll come back to those inner child. Because I mentioned a lot of our stuff that's back in that backpack is there from age 7. Sometimes from a teenager too, because we don't always have the coping skills to move through some of the drama. We don't always process that properly. But yeah, it'll give you those clues into inner child. And what you do is when you go into these hypno journeys, you'll realize if it's just a regular trigger from like recently, but usually it's deep, it's deeply rooted.
So I think the moral of the story is we have lots of triggers and we need some hypno journey, because like we got a lot of shit to figure out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we all do. It's part of being human. It's we all have it. Like I sometimes say, oh, I'm going to mess up my kids. What did I do? But it's part of the human experience. So we're there. If life were perfect, it would be really, we wouldn't feel motivated to change. We would just be like, everything would be handed to us. So that's not what it's about. We all are totally messed up. And we get a chance to like step out of it now as adults. We can take control back and our power back to live the life we really want. It sounds like people have trouble believing this, but it's on that whole energetic level of manifestation. The moment you think you want something is the moment you can start to have it. And once you can get the stuff out of the way, it'll just come because there's that space for it. And I'm sure like when it happens, you must feel like, you feel a weight. Do you feel that, Haley? Or sorry, I'm sorry, Hallie. Do you feel that? Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like anything just physically lift away?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said it to you, like I feel lighter or I feel a little more peaceful than I did 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's incredible the physical feeling you have within it, but then energetically you attract. And in relationships too, like we always say opposites attract, but it's actually wrong. Because sometimes I used to say like, oh, my husband completes me. He's like everything I'm not. And we make the perfect like together. But actually those are aspects of myself that I didn't own or didn't have, like that loudness. I was attracted to that because I was so shy. I almost needed him to talk for me. But those are things that I didn't have. I didn't have the confidence. So I had to figure out, why was I not confident? What kind of shut me down as a child that I felt like I had to be very polite and not very well spoken because I didn't want people to like hear my opinion because I was scared it was wrong. So yeah, you really want to attract someone who's very similar to you, because then you're a whole person. Like, not that we're not whole, but you know what I mean? Like, you have your stuff together. Like, you're not working on yourself in a big mess. Like, you're not bringing baggage into the relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think with our generation, it's really special that we can focus on this stuff, because not everyone, but generations above us really don't get own it. This. They don't own like their own minds, and they don't they just kind of go with what tradition is. And I find it even like, if I were to talk to my grandparents about this, they'd be like, okay,
yeah,
go to work.
Yeah.
No. You know, so it's their feelings.
Yeah. And I think it's really special that we are. And it's funny that you say with kids, but I don't know what you do with your kids, but I always say when, hopefully one day when I have kids, I want them to be really in tune with their feelings. Like I would put them in therapy, not because they're messed up, but just to be able to communicate feelings early on.
And I always say I'm going to fuck them up. Like my biggest fear is having kids and just royally screwing them. And then they're messed up for life. Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll sort it out. They'll figure it out in their own time.
I'll do some hypno journeying.
Is there anything that you do with your kids that you, because this is what you do for a living too, but what do you do with your kids that really helps maybe their journey?
Oh my gosh, we talk about feelings a lot. So I'm always like, what are you feeling? I feel sad. And I'm like, let's dig into that. Like, what's causing you to feel sad? And then we'll like, I'm trying to think of a recent example. Oh, my son, he's my middle son. He's so sensitive. He always says I yell at him. But the reason I yell at him is because I've already asked him 3 times and he doesn't do it. Like if he has to like, put on his shoes, I'm like, put on your shoes. And then I finally get mad, which is my own trigger, which I need to dig into, like, which is around like someone not listening, following instructions. Like you're supposed to do what your parents say. Like I have some ingrained beliefs there that I need to work through. But so when I was talking to him, why do you feel sad? He's like, cause my mommy doesn't like me. I'm like, why does your mommy not like you? And cause she yells at me. And how does it make you feel when you get yelled at? And we kind of go in this circle to kind of get out. Is your mom really not like you? Like we just kind of play around with it until we can kind of release that from him. So he knows that he's loved. Or that's a one example, but we just talk it out and try to release it. I even tell them, like, if we don't talk about this right now, it's going to be shoved down. It's going to come back up when you're like 30 years old and you're dealing with it with your partner then. Like, well, for example, this is one. My son, because we've been doing remote learning, right? So he didn't have his mic off. And so when his mic was on, he just started singing away, do-do-do-do-do. And his class started to laugh and he got so upset and so embarrassed. Like, we have to talk about this because if not, maybe one day you'll be singing on stage and you're going to have stage fright because you think people are going to laugh at you. We need to process this emotion now. We need to release it, let it go so it doesn't stay in that shadow behind you. So those are some examples. I think it's just so important to keep talking to your kids. And if they don't want to talk, then give them the space, maybe revisit it later.
Well, that's what I just said to Hallie the other day. Like growing up, my dad would say, like, you can take the day, like you can be with your own feelings today, but tomorrow we're going to talk about it. Or like later we're going to talk about it. And just yesterday when we were dealing with this whole Jersey situation, my husband's family kept saying, it's fine. It's fine. Let it go. You're overreacting. So I said, and I'm usually one to voice how I feel, you know, I'm like ready to fight at all times. So now I'm like, I want to keep peace with you, but like, this is my husband. And I said, it's important to validate that your feelings are valid. It's important to say your feelings are valid. Your feelings are heard. And he has spent so much of his adult life not talking about his feelings because I think his family's always been like, you're overreacting or it's fine, let it go. And I'm like, it's not fine. Like, talk about it, because if not, he's going to wear the jersey another weekend and we're going to have this whole thing over again. Like, it's so important to validate that, even if you don't agree, even if you're like, I think he's overreacting, validate it.
That's why I'm so excited for our generation to have kids, because I think that we will be teaching them those lessons early on. So maybe we have less, we're going to have childhood trauma, but there might be a little less of it.
Yeah. But it's so true. Like if, for instance, she doesn't do this with her kids, you're right. Then you get to a point where you have a grown man in a relationship and he's like, I didn't want to say that because I thought it would upset you, or I felt, you know,
I don't feel loved because you got mad at me.
Cause you got,
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I hope you're right. Like, and I think you will be right, because hopefully my kids' backpack of baggage won't be as big as maybe ours and even our parents' generation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more I become aware of it, I'm not projecting my own beliefs onto my kids. Because that's so much of where these thoughts came from, is like shoving the feelings down. Like you talked about your husband's family, like they were probably taught that generations before, we don't talk about our feelings. You know what? Just suck it up, buttercup, and keep on moving. Right. And instead that just stuffs those feelings down because they're not processed. And then we project it onto the next generation. So yeah, hopefully the cycle will just get better and better.
Fingers crossed.
I think so. Like maybe not our kids, but maybe the next generation.
Our kids do. We're gonna learn in time. Okay.
I've got time.
Yeah.
I'll bring my fucked up kids to you. You help them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yes. That was all we had. Yeah, we're looking at our questions that we have written down. Okay. Well, that might be it for what we have, but do you have anything that you wanted to add or anything that you do that you'd like our listeners to know?
Yeah, I have a free guide that I'd love to give out. If any of your listeners feel like they need a little bit of help with reconnecting with their, could be their spouse or just someone that they're in a relationship with, they want to go to, it's called www.freemarriageguide.com. I have like three of my best tips in there for how to reconnect with your partner. So you can check that out. And I also do, I just love working with women. So I've recently opened up my calendar just to set some like free 15-minute calls so I can troubleshoot and give one tip that'll help navigate some marriage struggles. So you can go to my website for that one, which is www.soulifywellness.com, and you can book a call with me and completely free. In 15 minutes, you'll be walking away with something you can implement right away to navigate a marriage struggle.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll link everything in our podcast, in our Instagram, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Instagram, that's my favorite. I love it. It's so pretty. But I'm at Soulify Wellness if you want to check me out on Instagram. Facebook, I don't like it as much. My stuff's all there.
Yeah. We're not big Facebook.
No.
Facebook users.
We're not good at it.
No. Same with Twitter.
Yeah.
We're not good at it.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're really good at Instagram either, but we're just going with it. So
it's all right. You are. Your page is beautiful. I love your feed. Like, it's just so pretty. You just do a great job. Your colors are coordinated and you have a nice mix of posts versus reels versus pictures. I love it. You're doing great.
Who knew that so much goes into that? Like,
oh yeah.
When we first started this, we were like, oh yeah, easy. Yeah. And now we're like, we need meetings. We need a calendar together. Like,
it's
like
a joint calendar.
Yeah. Making a reel takes an hour.
Oh, doesn't it? It's ridiculous time waster, but it's fun at the same time. Depends how you approach it.
Yeah.
It can be really fun. But yeah, a scheduling calendar is when you're going to post. And I was thinking with the two of you, you probably have to figure out who's putting what out when.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're like, oh shit, it's 6 o'clock. Do you got this? Because like, I'm right here and I'm in the grocery store. Yeah. I have no service. Could you put it up? Like,
yeah. Every day it's like, well, we're good for a while.
Yeah.
And then we didn't meet for 2 weeks.
Down the hill.
And
it went downhill.
It went bad.
Yeah.
So now we have to sit down probably after this and go through our whole calendar for the month of June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay.
That's good.
Okay, Beth, right. thank you so much.
It's been really
Thank you for having me. This was fun. Excited.
Yeah. Sorry about all that technical difficulties in the beginning. It wouldn't be a true podcast for us if we didn't have something go a little bit wonky in the beginning. So glad we're just living traditional life.
It's all good. And then mine sometimes went, you guys froze up a little bit. Did I freeze on your end?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Because sometimes you froze, like only your screen did. So I wondered, that must have been my unstable internet. So I'm like, I think they're done talking and I'll just talk. I couldn't tell. That was a blast. You guys are fantastic. I love podcasts. I've been into podcasts for a really long time. I think before they were actually kind of cool. I used to like to listen to CBC Talk Radio. So podcasts were fun for me. And I think what you do is great.
Thank you. Yeah. I like that you will want to support women and like,
because
that's the kind of community that we want to make, is a community of women that don't feel so alone in all the things.
Yeah.
That's what I love what you're doing too. You're talking about stuff that's real. Like, you guys are hilarious. But then you also have the elements of like, this is life too. It's not, we could talk about all the fun stuff. And sometimes like, I'm just saying like, you guys are great. I just love how real you are.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I hope you enjoy your day.
Yes. Enjoy the sun.
I'm going to the beach. So I'm going to go.
Oh, that's nice.
That's exciting. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.